The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, PeteEvans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Bernard Guntag grew up in Munich, Germany, and he moved to California in 1994 to study drums and percussion in Los Angeles. Being very emotionally sensitive and battling depression throughout his early life, Bernard started to face his shadow and his fears. His exploration into rhythm and music became a journey of self-discovery and healing, which led him to spiritual, psychological self-work and the healing arts, studying and practicing yoga, qigong, meditation, dance, psychology, shamanism, as well as various spiritual and ancient esoteric teachings. His personal healing process also inspired him to explore the mysteries and hidden knowledge surrounding our planet and humanity's origins, questioning the roots of what constitutes reality and how social and spiritual conditioning impacts upon our collective and individual search for truth, fulfillment, and happiness in all aspects of life. To find out more about Bernhard, please visit his website, veilofreality.com. That's veilofreality.com. Bernard, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. How are you, brother?
I'm very well, man. Thanks for having me.
You have such an eclectic voice that I'm not even certain where to start on this journey with you today, because we could go in so many different directions. But maybe we'll just start off with exactly that. How beautiful it is to have fingers in so many pies, so to speak, or being able to explore our life in infinite ways. And I'd love for you to be able to explain what that means for you and your continual search for truth.
That's a big question. Thank you. Well, my work, first of all, one of the main questions people always ask about my work, how did you start? Why did you start it? How did you come across all this information? And it really starts, basically, I always give the same answer, because I was suffering. I've been suffering through childhood, being lonely, not being able to fit in, dealing with depression, despair. And then the ultimate question came up, like, what am I doing here? Who am I? What's happening in the world? I don't believe there must be more than this, what I've been told and taught. And then you ask the question, right? You ask the question, and then, you know, the adventure begins. You ask and you receive, and down the rabbit hole you tumble. And I just started looking into information, and one thing led me to the other. And in the process, the main thing I realized that you cannot separate the inner and the outer work. So it's not just intellectually trying to understand what's happening in the world, because the mind will never grasp it, but it's deeply interrelated to your own inner development, your level of being, whatever, your own inner work and understanding yourself, know thyself, the ultimate question. For me, always has been the mantra, I cannot, there's this saying, don't leave any stones unturned. So I wanted to look into everything. So I never censored myself. And my driving force was always conscience, right? I never cared too much about what people would think about me. I'd never made this my career choice. I just like, this is interesting. I need to talk about this. I mean, I have no other choice. And many things I came across, I have to say, even more the darker side, I didn't want it to be true. I went through my own disillusionment process many times over, dealing with my own cognitive dissonance, coming across certain topics, and my own death rebirth cycles, dark nights of the soul. And then it progresses and there's more and more, but ultimately it all kind of connects. And I think with my work, I'm all about connecting dots and looking at it at different levels. And you can look at it just the physical 3D level as we see it now politically. You can look at it from the psychological perspective, Jungian, the psyche, the collective unconscious. You can look at it from the hyperdimensional fringe occult matrix perspective with all kinds of entities and aliens and forces. Or you unify it all with the ultimate spiritual vision and the divine vision, right? Brings it all together. And then it all becomes very paradoxical. So I see it as an adventure, the adventure of consciousness, as Sri Aurobindo would say, I study his work a lot, Integral Yoga. And we're just in the process of this time of transition, of this evolution of consciousness. And it's these are intense times, but exciting times. That's how I can summarize it.
Beautiful. It is a dance. And I often find myself dancing on this dance floor, and it's, you can, like a good dance, you could change the rhythm, the tempo, the beat, the movements through our conscious will and or our conscious exploration. And I'd love how you explained that there's this layer, then there's this layer, there's this layer, there's a grand scope of things which ends up being paradoxical. So then you go back to the start again, nearly. It's like boom, boom, boom. And how do you stay grounded through the enormity of this, or the immenseness of this knowing? You know, I was talking to my wife about it the other day, saying, you know, I love that scene in The Matrix where after Neo's taken the red pill, he's having a chat to one of the guys that comes over and says, don't you wish you just had taken the blue pill?
Yeah. I think we're past that point, many of us. But in terms of what is important for me is the self-care, because especially in this day and age with the information overflow, the information warfare we're in, and while it's important to stay aware of what's happening, you can easily get lost in the internet, the social media, the information, and even lost in the rabbit hole, right? In the fringe and all, you don't even know what's true, what's false anymore, because then you realize the mind, the intellect has its limitations. You cannot figure it out intellectually. And I think what we all, as I may say, must not forget when we start to question, what is the goal? What is the intention? And ultimately it comes to what it's about awakening. And what does it mean to awaken, right? To be awakened doesn't mean similar to just to know what the matrix is, so to speak. But it's this like self-realization, to know thyself, to connect with the divine, to see the wholeness. So in this process, I find the embodiment process is key in this day and age. And I fell into the New Age trap at some point, spiritual bypassing and trying to escape the world, right? Trying to get out of body, disassociated. I'm just like, oh, I'm just love and light. Everything is fine. And the distortion even of New Age type reality creation is just my reality, my solipsistic view and look at the dark. But that creates more suffering, more disharmony, less wholeness. So embodiment is the key. And embodiment is like the journey is through the body to stay in body. So embodiment practice is a key. Dance. I love dance. Dancing has been an amazing spiritual practice for me. There have been periods I went intense to 5 rhythm dance classes, ecstatic dance, just to express myself. Emotions I cannot verbally express in any way, but need to come out through my body. Anything like joy, ecstasy, to anger, aggression, to live it, that human experience, not ignore, suppress these emotions, and also not projecting them onto others. That's what's happening. But taking responsibility for my own experience, for everything I feel. So the embodiment process, which is also not just staying embodied, it's not just working out physically, which is also important, thinking of the physical body. But the root word of embodiment literally means a soul incarnated in the flesh. So it's soul integration, to really get your soul infused into your body. So the soul becomes the master and the ego, the personality, just a servant to it, right? So on a very basic level, it's also humility is key. You know, I had to eat humble cake many times throughout my work, so to speak, because the moment you think, oh, I figured it out, I know it all, the matrix has you, so to speak, right? Because none of us can see with the eyes of the divine. So the saying applies also, you know, before enlightenment, carry wood, and after enlightenment, carry water and chuck wood, so to speak. So it's what I've seen is this awakening process, not just we're going anywhere else, it's just a widening on all levels, right? And we need to be here right now, and the journey is through the body. So on the practical level, this is for me just Qigong, yoga, walking barefoot in nature, meditation, basic spiritual practices. We just recently got a puppy, my wife and I, just also enjoying the little things in life and not trying to escape somewhere else. And the key in this journey really, again, is to for me to stay in body.
I love that. And yeah, I've been barefoot walking this morning with our dog on the grass, watching the sun come up. And we just planted some roses actually in some pots, and it was beautiful. Every morning, my wife and I check out where the roses are at. Have they bloomed yet? Are they just about to? What ones have just started to form into that rose itself off the branch? And it's these small things that can really bring us back into the present moment with so much distraction going on.
Yeah.
There's something that I wanted to talk to you about that has circled my awareness over the last couple of years. I've just heard mentions of it, and it's the tribal people of Australia's understanding or work through, I think it's called holographic kinetics. Mm-hmm. Is that the right terminology?
Yeah, holographic. It's pretty big in Australia. It's a modality also founded by Steve Richards.
Yeah.
Who's kind of the teacher of that modality. It's based on Aboriginal wisdom, right? You can find similar wisdom in other esoteric teachings, mystery schools.
And what does it mean? What's your understanding of this? And how has it helped you?
Well, basically it means holographic, that everything is, it's about holographics, right? That everything, the small is contained in the whole and the whole is contained in the small. So everything is accessible at any point in time. And that we can even, on the basic level, who we are just who we think we are, let's put it this way, is mostly just an accumulation of memories, of experiences, this lifetime, past life, traumas, wounds, experiences, which we then, our beliefs, our opinions, whatever we identify with, which we think this is who I am. I am Pete Evans, I am Bernhard Gunther, you know, but that's just an illusion itself, because it's not our true essence, our self, which transcends this personality. So from the holographic perspective, we all carry the past with us. And you see it even the body manifest, wherever we hold tension, we hold on to experiences. So holographic kinetics, for example, is a modality where we can access the past to change the present, which affects the future. So we are not a victim to our past. So come almost like a sophisticated way of trauma work, in a sense, to change our past experiences. And it works, it's not hypnosis, but it works through muscle testing, where we can access different timelines, right, experiences, and then change them and even cancel contracts with other forces and whatnot, and come on alignment of who we truly are. It's also about understanding lore, like as it said in that tradition, or also universal laws. And respect universal laws or natural law, cold laws, which are not man-made, but which affect all of us, regardless if you believe in them or not. The basic law of cause and effect, also known as karma, which also has been obviously distorted and abused for social engineering, right? But in a sense, there's no such thing as, quote, bad or good karma. It means just for every action, there's a reaction, right? And whatever happens to us, we have created this on some level at some point within not just this lifetime, but a past lifetime, for example, right? Kind of what comes around goes around. So it's about taking full responsibility for your own experience. It's not about blaming yourself or whatnot, but coming more to this mature understanding that I am also responsible for this reality, not in the new age type like The Secret, right? Of just, oh, I just need to change my thoughts, because the way we quote unquote co-create reality is on the most part on an unconscious level through our unconscious beliefs or wounds and traumas, right? Our defense mechanisms that drive us. And from the esoteric perspective, it takes a high level of being and awareness to actually have true free will. Many of us, we live under the illusion of free will because we're so mechanical. People are very mechanical. And they, like Gurdjieff would say, people are asleep dreaming to be awake. And he also talked about the horror of the coming face to face with the horror of the situation, meaning like when you deeply contemplate on yourself or meditate within yourself, observe yourself, you realize the horror of the situation of how mechanical we are. Constantly just, it's like a record playing itself and whatnot. So there are various modalities, various esoteric teachings, even including holographic kinetics, that help us become more aware of who we truly are and in our past affects our present, how we can change it.
I'm looking forward to exploring this. I spoke with Steve the other day, actually, and we had a bad internet connection. So I was like, okay, the timing isn't right just yet. So we'll circle each other and make a connection down the track. So thanks for sharing that. You mentioned trauma. And do you think it is one of our purposes to embrace our trauma, to look at it, to work through it? And I know that's possibly too simple an explanation, but tell me how trauma can be one of the greatest gifts.
Well, trauma is like, it also ties into suffering. Like, why do we, the ultimate question, why do we suffer? Why do we need to suffer? Why is there evil? I mean, you can get all philosophical into it. But I had an interesting definition, like the purpose of suffering from the mother was Sri Aurobindo's partner from Integral Yoga. And she said, suffering is the force that helps get the inertia out of matter to spiritualize matter, right? It's like we need almost the alchemical friction within ourselves. That's also an esoteric term, to ignite the alchemical fire within, the friction, right? So trauma in itself, which also basically means wounded, being wounded. And everybody, I don't care, is traumatized to varying degrees. We all carry trauma. Even the original trauma, the original wound, because the ego in itself is a trauma response of disconnected from source, of feeling this illusion of separation. That's a trauma response. So we all, our collective humanity, will live, technically speaking, in trauma of disconnected from the divine, of our true self. And the ego is the response to it, just fighting this illusion, right? So that's the original trauma, the original wound, so to speak. And then it adds up. We all have varying degrees of trauma. And it doesn't always have to be what Gabor Mate, I'm sure maybe you have heard his work, Gabor Mate called like a big T trauma, like the quote-unquote obvious trauma, like sexual abuse, physical abuse, drug abuse, and all of this. But little T trauma, which we all have, it can be as simple like when you, like everybody has childhood wounding. No parents were perfect. You know, as simple as when you're a little child, your mom took your toy away and you're like, bad boy, don't do this. That in itself can already install the belief, oh, I'm a bad boy if I enjoy myself, right? And that's the number one. When I work with clients or my wife and I together, sometimes we see that the manifest in the number one wound everybody carries to varying degrees is the I'm not good enough program. I'm not worthy, right? So that can set off already, can disconnect us more from our creative potential, from what truly are, from developing ourselves, right? But when it has a teaching function, because through the work of trauma, of uncovering that, of making the darkness conscious, right? The unconscious conscious, we retrieve a lot of our positive aspects, our essence that has been buried underneath it all. And also what I've noticed, wherever we carry trauma and we embark on this healing journey, I see to myself, of clients, it ties into the archetypal journey of the wounded healer. So we, out of our experience by healing ourselves, heal our ancestors, heal others, and can be an active force then to truly help others out of our own experience. And coming face to face with our own trauma and wounding also creates what's very necessary in this day and age, compassion and empathy for others. So we see when we suffer, we are more compassionate, empathetic to the suffering of others, not just on intellectual compassion. It's easy to have intellectual compassion, right? But really feeling that and seeing yourself in others. And that's really the deeper purpose of quote unquote trauma, so to speak.
Yeah, I love that explanation. Thank you so much. And it's interesting because we're looking at the world stage at the moment with leaders and I guess people that have so much influence over the
the power of the world. People like Bill Gates and Donald Trump and the prime ministers of the United Kingdom, Canada, Germany, for instance, all of these people. And when I look at them, I'm like, how much work have they done on their trauma? How much have they worked on their shadow? And I'll open that up to you for your observation on this.
Okay. Then we can go into many different directions because, first of all, as I said, everybody's traumatized to varying degrees. I would also say everybody plays their own role. But there's another level to it, the individuals you just mentioned, with the exception, I would have to say, for Donald Trump, and that's a hot trigger topic in itself, some people in positions of higher power are also psychopaths, genetic psychopaths, born without a conscience. So that's another topic of all topics, very misunderstood, that there are psychopaths out there disconnected from the essence that is actually not related to necessarily childhood trauma, but they're born this way. And that you can go even deeper from there. I don't know if we want to go to esoteric, but ties into another topic of organic portal, soul is human. So there's all these secrets that have been guarded from us, so to speak, about the nature of our reality. And what I've also found out the hard way, we also project our own soul potential into others that don't necessarily have it. We think like, look at politicians, for example, think like, well, I feel and see this way, then this person should feel and see the same. But that's not necessarily so. And I'm not saying that everyone, but there are people in positions of power who literally couldn't care less about us whatsoever. And they don't have access to this conscience, at least in this lifetime. Right. And they see us as resources to be used, complete like cattle, for example. And sure, then other people, they are more dealing with trauma and whatnot. And like we all do. Right. And people sometimes say, well, all these leaders, we should just give them acid, LSD, or everybody should just eat mushrooms and ayahuasca and all these things. But it's also not that easy because, again, like I mentioned before, you look at it at different levels. And everybody has their own purpose in this whole game we are playing right now. You know, what I also realized, whoever is here, whatever is happening right now needs to happen this way. Couldn't be any other way. And everybody who is here has to be here, has a right to be here. There's nothing wrong with reality. So when we're disconnected from ourselves, we think, oh, this is wrong. We need to like get rid of this and that. And then we get caught up in this cave, so to speak, of fighting shadows on the wall. And while we need to engage in action, and there's truth to evil, and especially this day and age, the warrior archetype, we need to stand up for ourselves and not fall into the passive spirituality. We need to also watch out that we don't externalize everything, but also like take care of our inner self, right? And truly become the change we see. And it's very complex because I've written some articles about psychopathy, and there are certain points you can go through and maybe spot people who fall into that, but it's, you don't want to go around psychoanalyzing people either. It's very delicate, so to speak. But it's just very important to understand that the forces that are also operating the world and people in positions of in power don't, let's say, vibrate on the same consciousness level as we do, right? In terms of awareness or teams of soul potential. So it's all intermixed with trauma, and then it goes more esoterically with soul potential and all of that. And the best thing I feel we need to understand is just understanding humanity. What is actually a human being? We have never asked that question. What is a human? We nowadays, pathology has become normalized. That's what one of my favorite quotes is by Krishnamurti. And he said, it's no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And that's kind of what people try to do, or we're trying to do. We're trying to adjust to a quote system that's completely anti-divine to begin with. And now the war is intensifying, right? So we need to ask ourselves, again, it comes back to the question, who am I? What is a human being? What is really going on? What is the purpose of this, right? To ask these bigger questions, I think with what's happening right now in this world, that it serves on the purpose, on the positive sense, as a trigger for a lot of people to start to awaken to something else. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but, you know, I'm going around.
No, I'm loving this conversation, mate. And because I feel that everything's in balance, even in the craziness of what's happening at the moment. And it could just be my belief that I know this is playing out as it's meant to play out. And I doubt my role in it sometimes and what I've created or manifested in this space too, which is a rabbit hole that I go down quite often. Because we know we can co-create this in this world that we inhabit. And yes, we can, says my dog. Yeah, there you go. So you mentioned Donald Trump triggering just then, and I've been known to put my hand up. I think I'm one of the only celebrities in Australia that's vocally said, go Trump. And talk to me about that and your understanding over the last few years of who Donald Trump is and what he may represent.
Okay. Well, first of all, I need to say where I'm coming from, because I never believed in politics. I never identified with either left or right. I couldn't care less. I've written many articles about the pathology of statism, that government can never bring you freedom. It still holds true. And left and right, it's two wings of the same bird. I never voted, none of that, right? So I never even paid attention to politics. I came off from the anarchist ideology, philosophy, right? No rule, meaning no rulers, right? I want to be sovereign. I don't want to be told what to do and all these things. And until 2016, because I always felt and knew the game is rigged and all of that. There's no free elections. The presidents are being selected and installed. But when Trump got, quote, elected in 2016, I was surprised, to be honest, because I thought Hillary was the obvious choice, right? Looking at it from perspective of my research, the globalist Illuminati, the New World Order, whatever you may want to call it, right? Because I saw every president as just a puppet for the establishment, for the empire, for the cabal, whatever, deep state. But then Trump got elected. And then I remember on election day, I actually was laughing out loud in my living room. I was like, that's awesome. And not necessarily because I was a Trump supporter, but I knew he serves as a trigger, important trigger. He's going to trigger the hell out of especially the left liberals, right? And I wrote an article that, 4 years ago, Donald Trump and the Shadow of America, from the Jungian perspective. And I felt like this would be great teaching function if people would apply shadow work and own their triggers and don't project it on the guy. But the projection intensified. And interesting, especially the left, and it's becoming more obvious, are engaging in extreme shadow projection onto this guy, on their hate and anger, and almost becoming that what they fight against. So over the years, like, I became more curious, why is this guy attracting so much opposition and hate and all of this, calling him a racist, calling him a dictator and all of that? Like, it didn't make sense. So I started my research into it. And I also have to say, I never got triggered by him. Even his tweets, I was like, they're cracking me up. Like, I had no negative or positive projection, meaning I was not putting him on a pedestal as a savior, nor as the whatever next Hitler and whatever. Like, I was completely impartial. Like, okay, that's interesting. And then in my research, like getting deep into the political scene, I realized, number one, that the mainstream media, especially more the leftist media, is completely distorting who he is and forming an image about him, taking his, what he says out of context and projecting an image of him who he truly is, right? And that became even more obvious to me during COVID. And when that all happened, I watched all the live press conferences by Trump at the beginning. He gave them daily. And what he said and the way he held himself compared it to how the mainstream media would report it. And there was a big difference. And I realized left, especially, who get really against Trump, they hold a view about him, which is simply not true. It's based on lies. It's based on conditioning, right, on how they want to see him. So I realized, what's the big threat? Why is he posing such a threat? And then at some point, it got me deeper into another big trigger topic, which is also coming more to surface, which is QAnon movement and all of that, right? And I denounced all of that for years. I thought, this is just ridiculous, controlled opposition, this is nonsense, conspiracy. On a 3D level, this is always, you know, I'm more into more the esoteric fringe, right? From the hyperdimensional perspective, it's controlled opposition, savior program, like they just trust the plan, it's just bullshit and whatnot. But I wrote an article about it a few months ago because I realized once I did deeper research, I have some great research friends as well who introduced me to this whole topic, and I realized I made a mistake. I had an opinion or conclusion about something before doing sincere research. And I see many of us, or many people, do that. It's called, like, the from the liberal arts, the trivium, which is comprised out of grammar, logic, and rhetoric. Grammar meaning is research. You ask questions who, what, where, when, without bias, just objective research. And then logic, you come to a conclusion. Rhetoric, you present your findings. And most people put their logic before grammar, meaning they have a conclusion based on their bias, conditioning, triggers, before they do their research. So I've seen this a lot, especially with Q and Trump. People have conclusions based on their own projections, bias, never having researched it. So I went through this whole process and I realized now, hold on, there's something to it. There's something, this man, with all his faults, that's people engage in this black and white thinking, right? Like nobody's perfect. He has his character, but I realized the character he embodies is needed to stand up against certain forces. And I see him now as a force of standing up against this globalist, socialist, communist, Marxist, New World Orders trying to crack down from all sides worldwide. And it ties into Q, which also there's a big evidence that this is somebody or some group within the Trump administration. And the way the mainstream media talks about it is complete nonsense, lies, and projections. It's also because why are they attacking something so intensely if it's just a nonsense conspiracy to begin with? Why? That always gets me questioning. So the way I see Trump right now, he's playing a very important role, right? And it doesn't mean that I'm now like on the Trump savior train and he's going to save the world, because I know for myself, it's not about just trying to take out the cabal, the deep state and the bad players and evil. The inner work is needed. More is needed than just trying to eradicate evil, right? But I can see it from a more nuanced place, that there's something else. There's also actually good forces, I realized, within the government. And that was my own disillusionment process, that actually can be good forces within the government helping in this shift right now in their own way. And that's, I think, where Trump and also Q fit in. But again, like I've been speaking out about this more of the past few months, I got a lot of backlash from people, obviously, not only in the mainstream, also within the spirit community. There's this whole conspirituality podcast movement that calls out people in the yoga wellness movement who, whatever, talk about Q, but even within a so-called truth movement. But again, I feel it's like it's important to have more nuanced, widened view and not so black and white. And again, for what I see with Trump on a very practical level, he has done amazing things on his from a political level over the past 3.5, almost 4 years now, that helping to expose a force or something in the world that had its grip on for so long, right? And what we're seeing now is almost the end game. For me, I see this is the archetypal battle between dark and light. And I don't even see it as classical. This is very important. I don't see this as classical Republican versus Democrat anymore. And for me, neither is Trump for me a classical Republican. He got into politics just 4 years ago. He's not a career politician. There are many people in Republicans who also hate on Trump and all of that. So there's something, it's more about the divine forces versus the anti-divine forces, the dark versus light. And I'm not going that far that, okay, Trump is the ultimate light work and whatnot. But he plays his role. Like we all play a role, so to speak, and none of us are perfect. If you're looking for the perfect savior, good luck. It doesn't happen, right? I know for myself, like I speak out, I know I'm integrity as much as I can be, but I have my blind spots. I know that I'm imperfect in my perfection. So I'm not looking for the perfect guy out there, but I can see it more in a nuanced way. But the moment you have a trigger about anything, about Trump or Q and whatnot, you cannot research it objectively because your own bias will influence the way you see things and you won't be able to come to a more objective understanding.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.